Hello and welcome to another episode of MetaSidekicks. My name is Liv and this is the podcast where we talk about all things metaphysical, spiritual, paranormal, and in between. And today we're going to be talking about chaos, the endless void of nothingness from which creation sprung forth. I don't have any really cool like buttons that make my voice go like forth, 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 you know, anything like that. But imagine it in your heads. Be creative with your minds. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in this Sunday. Last week we talked about God and how, anthropologically speaking, humans may have created the concept of gods and deities, or if gods and deities created people. It's up to you. I think both is true. Go listen to the last two episodes. There's a part one and two. You can have all of those mind biscuits, if you will, to munch on, because it was a lot. So I thought, what better way to continue on the idea of what happened with creation, etc., than starting with the beginning, which is apparently in Greek mythology, there is, I don't know if it's necessarily right to say that they're a deity. I think a quote-unquote being or entity or the personification of existence coming forth, springing forth life is more the correct way to look at the idea or the concept of chaos, at least in the Grecian mythologies. But we're going to get more into it and you can make your own decision on how you view chaos. But I figured before we start getting into gods and deities, we should start with what happened before gods and deities, and according to Greek mythology and other mythological texts, chaos came first, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. I've kind of left out life updates the past couple times. I've just been like, I don't know, I haven't been feeling myself. I've really been trying to not get overwhelmed with sad seasonal affective disorder, I think is what it's called. It's just seasonal depression, you know, because it's winter time. So I've been really trying to like look within myself in this hermity sort of way. If any of you know tarot, the hermit is a card usually drawn when the universe, your spirit guides, whoever you're talking to in tarot, want to tell you that you need to sort of sit with yourself and be quiet and reflective and introspective, if you will. So that's, I don't know, it's kind of what I've been dealing with, I guess. If you don't want to listen to my life update, you can choose now now to go down to the description below or in the show notes and click past this. But I'm musing, if you will. And then you'll just use that timestamp to skip forward to when we actually talk about chaos. So let's see, what has been happening in my life lately? A lot of good things, honestly, but it's also like a lot of, I feel like, how do I want to explain this? I feel like the past couple months from like fall to now winter has been like a transitionary period in my life of like endings and new beginnings. But when you become an adult, right? And I think maybe this is how I know I'm becoming an adult, because I am an adult, but I feel like you never really feel like an adult. And this year has just been interesting. And this transitionary period of like fall to winter has been interesting. So like, you know, the fall, the harvest time, reaping what you sow, bringing it in. And then like, now you reach winter and it's like, okay, got nothing else to do. We're going to like get into this hibernation sort of period and we're gonna sit with ourselves and either just chill the frick out and understand that we don't really need to do anything right now. We just gotta like cozy up and survive and be happy and comfy, or we can sit and cozy up and survive and be happy, but also think about a lot of things. And for me, I feel like that's kind of what's been happening with me. And one of the things that I've been thinking about is one, which I talk about in tomorrow's Patreon life update. If you guys are excited to read the specifics on that, I talk about how life, like you have big dreams and aspirations as a kid, right? And then you always kind of want to have those goals. And I feel like I've had a lot of goals that I thought would just like putter out and just like poof out of existence because it just didn't seem like it was going to happen the way it was supposed to. But I'm realizing that if you have a goal right now, or even if you want to think about it like past, you know, retrospectively in the past, like things that have happened and you thought it was going to happen one way, but then it just doesn't happen. So then you lose hope, but then it does happen, just not in the way that you thought it was. That's what I talk about tomorrow in my Patreon life update. But for you guys, I think another thing I've been thinking about, and I've been sort of keeping it to myself because, hence how I know that I'm an adult now, because it makes me nervous, making friends. You know, like when you're a kid, it's so much easier to make friends. You just like walk up to someone and you're like, hey, I like this about you. You want to be best friends? And it's easier, you know? And then it gets hard when you're in like, I don't know. I know it can be hard in elementary school, but it was really hard for me in like middle school and then into high school. And then everything changed when I was back in college. But now that I'm out of college, I feel like I'm reaching a new transitionary period when it comes to like friendships and people that I don't know, choose to have in my life. And then they so choose to have me and my family and their lives. And it's just changing again. And it's been really, it's been wild for me, guys. Like, it's hard to accept new friendships, I think, when you become an adult, because one, you have all of the responsibilities of an adult, whether you're a parent, a fur mom, you work, you travel, you like have it, just everything that comes with being an adult. It is so much harder just to have friends. But then the caveat too, or like in addition of that hardness of like life gets in the way of being able to hang out with said friends, making new friends is scary because you've had old friends, right? They leave, you guys grow distant, whatever that might be. And then when new friends have the opportunity to enter your life, you're like, is this a trick? Is this really happening? Is, what's his name? Kelso? What is his actual name? I can only think of Kelso from That 70s Show. Is he gonna, Ashton Kutcher, that's what it is. Is Ashton Kutcher going to pop out of here right now and be like, you're being punked? And then like confetti goes everywhere. And they're like, you actually didn't make a new friend. Like that's kind of how I feel a little bit right now. Cause I've been having new people like walk into my life and are like, hey, you want to do cool things because I think you're a cool person, which is literally the exact same thing as what happens when you're a kid on the playground or whatever. But as an adult, you're like, does not compute friendship. What? So that's something that I've been going through recently and it's been hard for me to embrace. And I think that's why I've been not talking about it in life updates. Cause it's one of those things that seems like too good to be true. So you just like, don't say anything, kind of like a dinosaur. It's like, if you don't move, it won't see you. If you don't say anything, then it's like the Schrodinger's cat when it comes to being an adult with friendships. If you don't do anything, then it still exists, but it also still doesn't exist, which means you are friends, but you're not friends, which is way easier than saying you are friends or you aren't friends, you know? I don't know. I guess this is my weird, awkward way to talk about how I've made a new friend. And like, there's a difference between a friend and an acquaintance. And I feel like before we were acquaintances that got along really, really well, but now I feel like we're friends and it makes me really excited. So if you guys don't know, and you're not like, you're new to the channel, you don't, This is the new time you've listened to a life update of mine. Amanda from Mackie and Amanda reached out to me a couple months ago and invited me to go on a trip to Louisiana with her. And I like, how do I describe Amanda? Amanda's favorite color is yellow. I know that. And because like we're friends, right? But it's also like we've done collaborations before in the past with Metapsychics, and it's been business collaborations, and what we've done now is still a business collaboration. It is very much businessy. However, our relationship is just, I don't know. It's been really, really, really nice to have a new friend and talk about medium things and girl things and animal things and just like geek out to the nth extent. and travel and have fun and meet new people. And Amanda, she is her favorite color is yellow, and she is just like a ray of sunshine. I've never met someone that is so just like authentically themselves in every way, shape, and form, no matter what. Like, because like going and traveling and doing paranormal investigations in like hotels and things, I've learned so many ways. I've learned so much from her, but I've also learned so many ways in which to like approach people. Because again, being awkward, making new friends, forging connections, scarier-ish when you become an adult, easier when you're a child. She just walks up to people and is like, hi, this is my name. This is what we're doing. Can we film here? And I'm like, wait, what? that does not, I feel like they're going to say no. And I've told her that. And she's like, well, if they say no, then that's all they say, right? And she's just, she's helping me learn a lot of things. And the reason I guess I'm talking about this now is because I can't like, I don't know. Her video came out on Saturday. You guys are going to listen to this on Sunday. She's releasing, I think, 8 videos is what I read on her post or something on YouTube. But she's releasing 8 videos of our paranormal escapades in Louisiana. And I just wanted to share with you guys that I have a new friend. And it makes me really happy. And I've been really like nervous to talk about making a new friend, because I feel like when you make a new friend as an adult, it almost is like, it's like finding a unicorn. And Amanda has been a unicorn for this year. And I'm sad that I didn't get to meet Mackie, but I'm sure that in the future I will be able to meet Mackie. And from all of the things Amanda has told me and et cetera, I can't wait for that. It's going to be exciting. So I'm just making new friends, and it's been terrifying but exciting. And I bring up Amanda just because she, for 2 reasons. One, it's like relevant to current events that are happening on YouTube right now. And 2, if you guys are asking, I did record things. I just have not had time physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually to incorporate editing videos. Podcasts are like my portion of the business. It's what I can like actually do to the best of my ability without overextending myself. Like for, I think it was like 4 months, March, April, May, June, 3.5 months, almost 4. I was editing videos and doing the podcast, and it was too much for me. So until I'm able to find more time or other avenues in order to incorporate videos, I will just continue doing podcasts. That's not to say videos won't be in the future. They will be. I have content. I will start editing it. It's just going to be a lot slower, my homies. And that's why I wanted to talk about Amanda. I have other new friends that are happening as well, and it makes me happy. For example, my friend Jake is now in a new relationship, and it makes me happy because, oh, Jake and I have been homies since I was like 14 years old. He's the reason I met my husband, and he is a beautiful soul. And it makes me happy that he is in a new relationship with a lovely significant other. And his past significant other was like a very big point of contention in my relationship with him and my husband's relationship with him. Because my husband and Jake are best friends. And Jake and I were also best friends. But, you know, 2 guy best friends, I think, trump sometimes a girl and a guy best friend. So it just, the past relationship that Jake was in was probably one of the most hard situations I've ever had to be in emotionally with one of my friends. It was terrible. I lost Jake for almost 2 years because of the relationship that he was in. And he has since gotten out of that relationship, and now he's in a new one. And it makes me happy because I'm able to be friends again with the person that he's in a relationship with, and actually have it be a healthy, lovely, beautiful relationship with another girl. So I'm also excited about that new friend too. What other new friends have I made? Lots of other new friends. I just wanted to talk about that. I'm making new friends. It makes me happy. I will start editing videos in the future for the YouTube channel. When, I don't know, but it's not an if, it's just a when. So thank you all for listening to my life update. That's kind of silly and a little coy, but let's get into chaos.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
All right, so I don't know how much we're going to cover in this in this week's podcast, but I want to talk about the what, when, and a little bit of the why revolving around chaos. So chaos, again, I don't know if it's necessarily good to say that they're a god. I would say that they're more so an entity, because in a lot, like, they're Greek. It's Greek mythology. Chaos is supposed to be the entity representing the primitive lack of order existing before the birth of the universe, right? So last week we talked about how I have a idea or understanding of my concept of God, creator, source, whatever you want to call them, as being the Big Bang, like the energy that created the Big Bang, I think would be my interpretation of a single God. However, I do believe that there are a pantheon or the ability of other gods or goddesses to exist as well after the Big Bang. So this kind of goes into that. I'm not saying that I think chaos is God itself. I just think that chaos is the energetic cosmic soup that has sprung forth the existence or existence as we know it. And that's kind of what lines up with Greek mythology. So chaos is the Greek primordial god or entity representing the primitive lack of order existing before the birth of the universe. So chaos is also mentioned in a few different mythologies outside of its Greco-Roman history. So there is a mention of, and it's not necessarily with the word chaos, it's just with the same sort of circumstances and understanding and idea of chaos found within Babylonian, Egyptian, and Chinese mythology, as well as a couple different books within the Old Testament of the Bible, which is crazy to me. So there is, like, I wanted to try and see if I could cross-reference other ideas of where chaos, since we're talking about specifically chaos more so in the Greek understanding of it, the Greek mythology, than anything else. But there's so much cross parallels or crossing of ideas between religions and mythologies and cultures that I wanted to see also if there was any, you know, existence of chaos elsewhere, if you will. So chaos could be known as the first entity to exist, which created the cosmos as we know it. But chaos also gave rise, not birth, to all the other deities, which I think is cool. You know, like we gotta start with chaos before everything else starts to move out. And we're also going to talk about how today's scholars argue about chaos and its origins and its association with current religions and mythologies. But perhaps the reason scholars argue about chaos is simply because of humans' primordial fear of entropy itself, which I thought was pretty, that's just, you know, again, this podcast is not to tell you what to think. It is to give you the tools in order for you to embolden and give yourself the foundation to think for yourself. So I'm going to talk about things that I've thought about just doing the research, but this is for you to formulate your own ideas. With that being said, any of the sources that I cite today, unless I'm just doing like a Google search for a definition, then I will have those sources listed down in the show notes below or in the description below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel. Okay, so let's first start with chaos, of what is chaos as we know it, at least in the Greco-Roman history of it. So chaos is, quote unquote, the first being to exist, representing the primordial lack of order at the beginning of the universe. Chaos is the personification of the great shadowy gap at the beginning of time. And some describe chaos as an endless void of nothingness. Now, this quote right here, not this, I mean, it's not necessarily a quote, but this piece of information that some people describe chaos as an endless void of nothingness, this got me thinking. I was like, wait, if we're talking about chaos being this endless void of nothingness from which creation sprung forth, I had like a rabbit hole of thoughts. So I'm going to sort of give them to you in the way or the sequence that they ran through my brain. Could chaos be a black hole? Could chaos be a wormhole? Or could chaos be a white hole? Okay, right? You may not know what some of those things are. I'm sure most of you know what a black hole is, right? It is this void in space that has such like, I don't think it's negative energy or negative gravity, but it has so much like negativity, I guess-ish. I don't know if that's the right way to say it. It sucks everything in. It's a vacuum, and the density within the space of a black hole is so great that it just crushes everything that goes into it. So it's a hole with no out, there's nothing. It just doesn't, it doesn't go anywhere. It just crushes things like the boulder. So if you know the quote, you know. But I was like, okay, so could chaos just be a black hole, right? Because I feel like when we're talking about religions and deities or learning about religions and deities, it's of my opinion that I think humans use the concepts of gods and deities in order to rationalize things that we either do or don't know. For example, the Greek philosophers had the idea of chaos, which in my mind, you could literally say is the Big Bang. We just didn't know scientifically how to quantify it, but the Greek philosophers were like, nah, dude, it's chaos. So, you know, I think everything has a purpose and everything comes from somewhere. Like every idea has a purpose and it comes from somewhere, and it's something that we already know. And if we don't know, we're going to learn in the future. So could chaos be a black hole? And then I was like, I guess it wouldn't be a black hole because black holes crush everything. But I do think that like, I think in a couple podcasts back, like way, 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 way far back, we were talking about maybe time or time travel maybe. And I had this sort of intrusive thought that black holes, when we're thinking about the structure of our universe, could actually be structural filaments holding up our universe like the framing of a house. And then I poop you guys not. A couple weeks ago, I was going through Facebook Reels, right? I'm an old person. And I saw a little snippet of a video. I know it had Neil deGrasse Tyson in it. I don't know who he was talking to. It may have been Joe Rogan, but it may have also been someone else. And they were talking about how now people have the idea that black holes could be like structural filaments for the universe, sort of holding everything up. And I was like, wait, no, you're not telling me that these smarty pants scientists are telling me the same thing that I had as a weird claircognizant thought just like flippantly on a podcast months ago? Stop. So anyways, we're back to the idea of that the philosophers had the idea of the Big Bang with their understanding or head movies of chaos in a mythological sense. So I was like, okay, maybe chaos could be a black hole. And then I was like, no. Chaos could not be a black hole, even though it's described as a void of endless nothingness. And then I was like, wait, what if two black holes collided? Could that make chaos? Could that be the Big Bang theory? Is that what created the universe? So then I looked it up. You know, I'm just like tippy tapping on there, like that cat meme on my computer. Like, what happens when two black holes collide? And I'm here to tell you, according to the internet search results, you just get a bigger black hole. One black hole eats the other big black hole, and then there's just a bigger black hole. So if they were playing rock, paper, scissors, black hole just makes black hole. So I was like, okay, well, what about, hear me out, Google search engine. What happens if you have a black hole and it collides with a wormhole? Because I'm like, okay, wormholes are like a swoop-de-doop like portal for things. One thing goes in and then it comes out somewhere else where we don't know, but it has to go somewhere because of the mathematics of the structure of wormholes, right? It's like a tube, like the little kid tubes that go from one side of the playground to the other. That's a wormhole. So then I typed it up and I was like, well, what happened with this? And it did not make like a thing. There was a couple different, it didn't make chaos, which I was like, wah, wah, sad. So what happens when a black hole and a wormhole collide? I think there was a couple different things that could happen. I believe one of them was that the wormhole becomes a black hole. And then another one, I think if the black hole is small enough, then the black hole like goes inside of the wormhole and then starts to like eat it away from the inside. But don't quote me on that. Just type it up like I did on your Google search engine, maybe go into like incognito mode or something, because then it'll help keep whatever your search results were before filtered out of the results that you'll get then. So it'll be more of like a, this is specifically what I'm looking for without the rest of the algorithm being concocted into it. But then through this little tippy tap Google search, I figured out that there's something called a white hole, guys. Now, a white hole is the exact opposite of a black hole. However, they are only hypothetical. No one has ever actually seen a white hole, but a white hole is a hypothetical object predicted to expel matter and energy while black holes trap it. So my thought from reading this was, is our entire universe just a white hole? Because, okay, hear me out. We know that our universe is ever expanding, right? It's getting bigger. We're all going out. But we also have to think about the universe in the system or the understanding of like entropy. So entropy is just talking about how energy and heat is exchanged within a system. And if you think about our universe as a system is just going to be like a quantifiable area that you can sort of look at. In basic biology, when you go into like a chemistry class, they will tell you that a system is like a thermos, right? Because we're talking about energy, the transfer of heat. If you use this idea in the idea of a thermos, the thermos is going to be the system. It holds the energy, whatever it is, hot coffee, hot soup, good soup, cold soup, whatever. We're going to say hot soup just for this explanation. Now, however well insulated that thermos is going to keep the heat or the energy within the thermos, and it's not going to be transferred outside of the system, i.e. the thermos, and then be let loose into the environment around it. So when you think about the universe as a system, and you think about the earth and the sun and the stars and the moons, whatever, all of those things are expelling light. They're expelling energy. So if the universe is a system and all of those planets and things and us are expelling light and energy, wouldn't that make sense that we could be a white hole? You know, like listen to what a white hole is again. It's a hypothetical object predicted to expel matter and energy. That's what we're doing right now, guys. We're expelling matter and energy. I'm sure right now as you're sitting listening to this podcast, you are expelling matter and energy. Maybe you're a white hole. Maybe we're all just a part of a white hole. And this is where I was like, maybe chaos is a white hole, right? And there are theories, again, because a white hole is only hypothetical. They've never actually seen one. And then I also was like, wait, could a black hole exist in a white hole? That's another thing I was like Google searching, tip-tapping on my keyboard. And yes, black holes could exist in a white hole. Because I was like, wait, if we're just living in a white hole, if our universe is the explosion from a white hole, like taking place, like that was chaos itself, then maybe black holes couldn't exist in a white hole, right? And they're like, no. Hypothetically speaking, around this theoretical thing that we don't even know it exists, black holes could exist in white holes. So I'm like, oh, if we are a white hole and there's black holes that exist in our universe because we've seen them, we've like mathematically figured out where they are in relation to us. Anyways, we could all be living in a white hole. And I just like, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. So maybe chaos is a white hole. You know, it expels matter and energy. It creates, or it like its creation is what makes matter and energy. And since it's always expanding, then it just keeps going with quantum reverberations and all these other things. And I just, if you talk about like spiritual things, right? We're going to talk about like God, white light, white hole, and expelling of energy. I can't. It just makes like silly spiritual sense. That's my own little tiny like thought that I have in my head now. So anywho, chaos is seen as both a deity and a thing, which I've already kind of like danced around because I feel like I want to call chaos a thing. Also, I think it's important to say that chaos in my studies was referenced, which doesn't really make sense, but was referenced as a she. So I think that might just be anecdotally because when men start to quantify things or talk about things, they're like a she. Like ask your dad right now. Ask them if their car is a boy or a girl. You know, when you talk about like old history people and like guys piloting ships or ship captaining ships, whatever you want to call it, navigating the seas, they're like, oh, that there's Bessie, my vessel. You know, like everyone just talks about things as a she. Plus, since chaos was what gave birth, not necessarily gave birth, but what created gods and deities, you know, things that create things usually are referenced as female. However, I was having this conversation with a friend, since we were talking about friends, in the in the life update, and they said that they felt like chaos was masculine in their energy. So I'm not saying that chaos can be masculine or feminine, or that there is a masculine or feminine idea of chaos. I think chaos is energy, and energy is intrinsically or can be either masculine or feminine or both. So it doesn't matter. It could also be neutral. I just figured that was an interesting talking point. Maybe let me know if you think the energy of chaos feels more masculine or feminine in the comments below if you're listening on the Metapsychics Extras YouTube channel. I don't know. We also did talk about how based on the things that were going on in my friend's life, they felt that the energy of chaos was more masculine, but they also think that that is because of the things that are going on in their life and the perspective that they have towards the energy of chaos, where it's more of as something that is destructive or creates entropy or facilitates the absorption of things in their life. So therefore they have more of a masculine connotation when they think of the concept of chaos. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. It's just another sort of thought-provoking thing that crossed my mind. So chaos is seen as both a deity and a thing, credited in their mythologies as creating the heavens and the earth. So some Greco-Roman poets interpret the existence of Gaia and the following deities as being, quote, birthed from chaos, but they were in fact not birthed in the same way as, say, like Hephaestus is the son or the offspring of Zeus and Hera. Chaos just made the following deities. They weren't necessarily an offspring or a son or daughter. They just came from chaos themselves. So the following deities were created out of chaos. So you have Gaia, who is earth, Aether, who is the sky, Tartarus, who is the deep abyss. And if we have any like Disney fans out there, Tartarus is the place in which Zeus put all of the Titans. It's like the underworld, but also not the underworld. It is and it isn't. You could argue it. There's lots of ways to argue it. But anyways, that's not what we're talking about. The next god that was created out of chaos was Eros, the love and desire deity, who subsequently in other sort of theology books or interpretations can also be seen as the son of Aphrodite. But again, theology speaking, or theology wise, like the history of the gods and deities, Eros is sprung forth from chaos. The last two are Erebus, who is the deity of darkness, and Nyx, who is the deity of the night. Now, I think this is interesting to think about. So when you're thinking about Gaia, who is Earth, Aether, the sky, Tartarus, Eros, Erebus, and Nyx, it's almost like they're split from chaos. They are chaos, and chaos is them. So as we continue our deep dive into understanding gods and deities, not just in today's podcast, but in future podcasts as well, something that I have been learning about sort of anecdotally just within my studies and listening to other people within the spiritual community talk, there are three different things that I think, there are three different words that I think could be used to help our understanding or challenge our thinking of gods and deities. The three words are as follows. Epithets. So epithet, the description or the definition of an epithet is an adjective or descriptive phrase expressing a quality characteristic of the person or thing mentioned. The next word is an aspect. An aspect is defined as a particular part of a feature of something. Specifically in astrology, an aspect is of a planet from an aspect with another celestial body. So like say the moon and Mars are within aspect of each other, that type of thing. And then the last word is archetype. The definition of archetype is the original pattern or model from which all things of the same kind are copied or on which they are based. And in Jungian psychology, since we've been talking about Carl Jung a little bit in the past two podcasts or so, the definition in Jungian psychology for an archetype is a collectively inherited unconscious idea, pattern of thought, image, etc., universally present in individual psyches. So if we're thinking about the deities or the gods which sprung forth from chaos, I think it's interesting to say that the earth, the sky, the deep abyss, love and desire, darkness and night could all be epithets, aspects, or archetypes of chaos itself. Maybe not archetypes, but epithets and aspects, because it's like, okay, so we have this formless void thing that exists, and from this formless void spring forth these things. But as we continue on in our understanding of chaos in Greco-Roman understanding, you could argue that it's almost like chaos is the map, and Gaia, Aether, Tartarus, Eero, Erebus, and Nyx are just parts of the map. Which I think is interesting, because then that would fall under the idea of what an epithet or an aspect is. So is it like, are these things separate from chaos, or are they just parts of chaos? Like you yourself, if you were thinking about your appearance, you have eyes, you have a nose, you have fingers and toes, but those are still parts of you. They're just aspects of yourself. And anyways, it's been messing me up in the mind. So, in order to help you guys get a better feel of how chaos itself, themselves, he, she, whatever, Wumbo, how chaos was perceived in the time of her understanding, I have some quotes for you guys. Like, just so you can understand how it was used in texts, how the great poets and philosophers from Grecian times, ancient Grecian times, were able to use the idea and concept of chaos to evoke thoughts and ideas and use it in their own language. So I wanted to start off first with some quotes or ideas that Hesiod had. Hesiod was a Greek poet from 750 to 650 BCE, roughly, and he had a book of poems called Theogony. And it may have actually just been a book, but I do know that he was a poet. So I don't know if it was a book of poems or just the book itself called Theogony, but it basically described the history of all of the Greek deities. So Hesiod describes chaos as the first thing to exist before the gods, essentially the beginning of everything before the gods were even born. One of the quotes I was able to find from his book Theogony was, At first there was chaos, but next wide-bosomed earth, or Gaia, the ever-sure foundations of the deathless ones who hold the peaks of snowy Olympus. You know, that's pretty cool. It's an interesting way to explain how chaos created Earth. And then I'm not sure how to interpret the ever-sure foundations of all the deathless ones who hold the peaks of snowy Olympus. That may just be a continuation of how to describe Earth herself, Gaia. But it also seems like an allusion to Tartarus as well. So moving on. Hesiod really used the concept of chaos to expand upon the Greco-Roman understanding of cosmology, which is the creation of the universe. So chaos wasn't just the creator of air and earth and night and darkness, whatever. Chaos was seen in the concept of Greek, and I think it was also Babylonian, Chinese, and Egyptian mythologies, the idea of chaos, not chaos in the same Greek understanding, but the idea of chaos itself was used to understand how the universe itself exploded or came about. And this is going to be important in part two, because I think I'm going to have to make this into a part two. So get ready for that. But Hesiod really used the concept of chaos to expand upon the Greco-Roman understanding of cosmology. He interpreted chaos as either the gaping void above the earth created when earth and sky separated from chaos itself, which is interesting. So it's again, he's talking about how chaos didn't give birth to these gods. It just created Gaia and Aether. So it's almost like there was this primordial unity, or this separation from primordial unity, not a birth itself of these gods. So Hesiod continues on by saying that the gaping space between earth on which earth rests, which I just, again, he's talking about, like, let me see if I can read this like more cohesively. Hesiod says, the gaping void above the earth created when earth and sky separated from chaos itself, the gaping space below earth on which earth rests. So it's just, it's cool to see how Hesiod is saying how chaos is both the sky, the air, and the space below the earth, Tartarus. So like that deep abyss. It's just, I don't know. It's interesting to see how they explain chaos in their poems. So heavenly chaos is also used in a verse where Artemis kills Orion and, quote, sets him into chaos, describing the constellation we all know today. And I have that quote. Let me see if I can find it. So my notes say chaos was later identified with the primordial mix of elements, earth, water, fire, and air, and described in the Orphic theologies as the primal quote-unquote mud. And from Valerius Flaccus, translated by Mosley in the first AD, the specific quote from this poem was, Orion fell by the cruel virgin Artemis' shaft and now fills chaos, i.e. the air, or the Orion constellation, which I thought was really cool. I was like, interesting way to explain chaos. Now, we also have the idea of primal chaos, which was sometimes said to be, quote, the true foundation of reality. And this was mostly used by a philosopher by the name of Heraclitus. Please don't tell me if I'm saying that wrong, because it'll make me laugh. Anyways, so I think it's interesting that Heraclitus thinks that chaos is said to be the true foundation of reality. Because I want to sort of expand upon this in part two as well, when we get into more of the biblical Old Testament segments of how chaos is referenced, as well as we're going to talk about some topics called chaos comps in next week's podcast. And I think Heraclitus was on to something. Again, we're talking about gods and deities being things that are used to help humans understand the world around them, whether we're able to more scientifically understand it later down the line or not. But I think that by saying that primal chaos is the true foundation of reality, that makes me think about entropy. And entropy is our world becoming slowly disorganized. It's the natural state of existence leaning towards, I don't want to say chaos because we've been using it a lot, but just like dysfunction, breaking down, things like that. And I think that humans have an innate fear of that. So to sort of parallel entropy being the true state or foundation of reality, that might kind of point towards a lot of things in next week's podcast that we're going to talk about with like the idea of chaos comps. So anyways, we're going to continue with more quotes that help you sort of understand where or how chaos was perceived in Greco-Roman culture. So now I have the last quote for you is from Ovid's Metamorphoses. And I learned a lot about Ovid too. In addition to Carl Jung, my husband went on a whole like tirade of understanding Ovid, and that might have been my fault, but he learned way more about Ovid than I did. And Ovid is an interesting character. I mean, if you guys know, you know, but he is. So anyways, this is Ovid's Metamorphoses quote about chaos. This is what like the Greeks and the Romans and people nowadays are reading about the idea of chaos and how people used to perceive it. Ovid says, "Ere land and sea and the all-covering sky were made in the whole world, the countenance of nature was the same, all one, well-named chaos, a raw and undivided mass, not but a lifeless bulk, with warring of seeds, ill-joined elements compressed together. No tightened as yet poured light upon the world, no waxing Phoebe her crescent filled anew, nor the ambient air yet hung the earth. Self-balanced, equiposed, nor Amphitrite's arms embraced the long far margin of the land. Though there were land and sea and air, the land no foot could tread, no creature swim the sea, the air was lightless, nothing kept its form, all objects were at odd. Since in one mass cold essence fought with hot, and moist with dry, and hard with soft, and light with things of weight. This strife a god, or the primordial, with nature's blessing solved. Who sovereigned land from sky and sea from land, and from the dense vapors set apart the ethereal sky, and each from the blind heap resolved the free. He fastened in its place appropriate in peace and harmony. The fiery, weightless force of heaven's vault flashed up and claimed the topmost citadel. Next came the air in lightness and in place. The thicker earth with grosser elements sank burdened by its weight. Lowest and last, the girdling waters pent the solid globe. So into shape, whatever god it was reduced, the primal matter and prescribed its several parts. Then first, to make the earth even on every side, he rounded it into a mighty disk, then bade the sea extend and rise under the rushing winds and gird the shores of the encircled earth." So if you guys go back, you can listen to how chaos dissolved or separated itself into earth, air, land, sea, etc. And that was Ovid's interpretation of chaos. And I just, you know, it says no tightened was there, ill-joined elements compressed together. It was just, you know, it's interesting as all get out, and it absolutely just, it gets me going. It gets my brain going, ooh, let's learn more.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.
So, thank you all for listening to this Sunday's podcast. Next week, we will talk about how chaos is mentioned in other religions and my sort of idea and understanding of how chaos itself could be something that is intrinsically scary to humans and how that can be seen in its understanding or interpretation in other religions and or mythologies. So thank you all so much for tuning in this Sunday. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Go check out Amanda's video on her channel where we go to Louisiana. It was a great, lovely trip where I got to make so many amazing friends. Oh yeah, Angel. Angel's in there. I was like thinking about who else I made friends with that, you know, I'm just, yeah, Angel is there too. And Angel is an angel. So anyways, I'm sure I'll talk about that more on Patreon in the future. That's just my own little sort of excerpt on it. And yeah, chaos, guys. Don't let it scare you. It's an interesting sort of concept that we'll get more into next week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And until next time, peace.